We see bars. It's all good.
Okay. This is Jane Davis. Today's date is November 3rd. It's 9:17 in the morning, and I'm conducting an interview with Eugene Taylor.
Glad to meet you, Jane.
Nice seeing you. We're doing this for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Eugene and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Will you tell me about the quilt you brought today?
Well, this was an IQA finalist and made in 1995. My quilts reflect my values. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is number one in my life, then my family, and then my country. Therefore, my quilts reflect that, the competition quilts, not the ones for the bet, but the competition quilts all reflect my values. And this one tells a story. This one has the Tree of Life in the center, a very old symbol of the light and knowledge of God. And it has the Bird of Paradise, and then it has the Deceiver, because we have the good and evil, Christ, and we have Satan. The sheep of the pasture are self-evident from the stories of the Bible. The seasons of the Lord, surrounded by a grapevine, because I am the vine, the truth, and the life in John. And the seasons are depicted as the Lord commands around in the cornucopias. It has much symbolism, and I love the Baltimore genre way doing my own stories. It is not a depiction of a Baltimore quilt, but it uses much of the same techniques, and I developed them before the books were written. So the extensive inking and extensive Sharon Schnitter and the dimensional applique were all things that I had been doing.
Go back and use that word again.
Which one? Scherenschnitte? Paper cutting. It's just the German word for paper cutting. It's the accepted word in the Baltimore genre, because it is more expressive than paper cutting.
Okay. How do you use this quilt?
This is the show quilt. I made it for that. I made it for a competition, and I was very blessed in getting it in the show, and it won the finalist. It is a finalist, and it won an honorable mention. I showed about 8 or 9 quilts in various IQAs, and this was my top winner, if you want to call it that. But my major rationale for showing was to get my message of Christ. And you'll notice that there are lots of symbolism, of Christian symbolism, and there's lots of scripture on the quilt. And because of inking, I had the freedom to say what I wanted to say and get it out in front of upwards of 60,000 viewers, and you can't get a much better audience than that.
That's true. Do you use this theme in most of your quilts?
My user quilts, no. I make a lot of bed quilts, and I call them user quilts, and they're given as gifts, and I have been active in several volunteer organizations, and we gave like 50 a year to children for rescue and to give comfort to those whom it needs, through a church.
When did you learn how to quilt?
I grew up with it in my genes. I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. We've been here for 30 years, so, you know, as soon as we could, we got to Texas. I mean, but my grandmother was a quilter. Her mother was a quilter. My grandmother lived with us, and she taught me to sew on her Singer treadle sewing machine. One day, when I'd asked too many questions, I must have been 5 or 6 years old, while we went down to the chest of drawers where she kept the scraps, and we got out a cardboard for a template, and I drew around it, cut them all out. Then I got to go on the treadle sewing machine, and that was my first piecing experience. Since then, I took up weaving, spinning, dyeing, knitting. She also taught me to knit and crochet and tat, and she was a wonderful inspiration and really the model for what I've done in my life.
Of all these different genres that you're involved in, which is your favorite?
Which is my favorite? Oh, that's like asking you which of your quilts is your favorite or which of your children is your favorite. I mean, when I'm doing it, that's my favorite. But quilting, I always come back to, because it allows me to express something that nothing else does. You get the aesthetics, you get the techniques, you get everything in one. I love the design process, and that is probably my favorite part of quilting.
Have you passed your love for quilting on to other people in your family?
My daughter has done some in the contemporary mode, which is quite interesting. I have passed it on to a lot of people through my teaching. I taught for several of the quilt shops. Each quilt shop then closed, and I'd move on to the next, including Carrie's Great Expectations, and it has been closed for several years now. But I teach at a group. Since my eyes went, I teach as a volunteer at a church group, and I've taught a lot of them. In fact, one of my students has a quilt in the special exhibits and hanging right out there, and I said, yes! When your students start to surpass you, I think that's the greatest joy.
Do you belong to any quilt groups right now?
Well, just as a volunteer. I no longer am really active. I don't drive at night, and I don't. I stick pretty close to home, and I enjoy most out of. I get more out of books than I do anything else. So I stay up with the quilt world largely through publications, and of course the internet is an invaluable source. So we're all connected internationally these days.
Isn't it wonderful?
It is indeed.
Obviously, the needle turn applique is probably your favorite technique.
Absolutely, and it's the only thing I do pretty much by hand now, except knit and do baskets and tat. I've always done it. I like the organic approach. I simply cut a piece out freehand and pin it down, and I proceed to do the applique. And so I don't really follow patterns. I don't draw it out. It's whatever has led itself into my mind's eye that I then express myself with. It's largely freehand, patternless applique.
I see you've hand quilted this also. Do you still do hand quilting?
It's a choice. How many things can one do with the hands? I just had my 69th birthday, and I'm so thankful that I can still see. I have two cornea transplants, and my hands would need surgery if I did much with them, and so I stick with the needle turn applique and just love it. And then I have a handy quilter, the midarm, does my quilting for me.
Wonderful.
Which is great fun. You get to draw with a machine. It's all freehand.
Well, again, that's where technology
absolutely
gives us a hand.
Absolutely.
What direction do you foresee quilting going in the future?
That's a question that I hadn't really seen. I have recently completed documenting Carrie's, the corporate collection for Quilts Incorporated, and my real love is bringing the traditional forward, not jumping into a quote contemporary, what I would call fiber arts, because they're mixed media. So I really would love to see, and I think we see by the winners and the show, again, it's tradition driven, a step forward as technology, as abilities, as the vision increases. We take traditional and we extend them into the future. And that's what I see as being the longest lasting. Some of the techniques used by quilters today in the contemporary mode, particularly using the bonding, which is a temporary and no telling how many tens of years it's going to last, because it's a self-destruct, what they call when you remove color from
discharge
dyeing. They put terribly strong chemicals, which is an instant destruct for the textiles themselves. If they want their work to last for the next 100 years, they're going to have to show respect for the materials, for the fibers themselves, and they're not doing that.
Sorry.
I have a soapbox, and I get on that soapbox. Everyone who loves fiber does.
Yes.
If you understand fiber and how fragile it is, and so many things can destroy it, but why destroy it at the beginning? Sorry, another piece of my soapbox.
Well, we do want our things to last.
We're doing it, and with our preservation techniques and with the techniques we have for keeping the age of it at bay, why there's no reason it can't last for 100 or 150 to 200 years. We have the technology in science to do it.
Tell me about the quilt that is in
the book.
The book.
That was an interesting situation because I entered back in the days with House of Fabric Sofro was a national quilt or fabric store that had offices. They're no longer around, but anyway, I saw the contest and having a huge stash at home I could not use was an interesting design challenge to me. How does one design with this limited number of items, fabrics available? So immediately, and I cannot remember the theme of the contest, it was 1992. I do remember that because Columbus was prevalent in the historic, and so I saw this eagle with Earth and the whole history of the United States in our exploration. That to me was the theme, early theme of the United States, exploring first with the water and then with the air, and having NASA here was also an inspiration. So anyway, I took the fabrics that were available and I deducted the panel of duck and I made an eagle out of him. And I found what's called batik today, fabric, and it's the world. And then I tea-dyed it. I changed that material as much as possible that one can do out of a kitchen cabinet. And then the ribbons that form the banners, it was a printed ribbon, so it would not, there was no give in that. So I had to make little pleats. So every place I made a pleat, I made a flower. That's a great way to design something by necessity. And so then one morning I woke up, of course, I had to ink Columbus, the whole story of Columbus, and then NASA and the Wright brothers and all of the achievements that America has been so famous for in our search for exploration.
Well, it's a beautiful book.
Thank you. It is a beautiful book. Carrie does a marvelous job in gathering together the finest, and she has the context and knows everybody in quilting.
Do you use a design wall?
I don't have space for it.
Again, necessity.
Yes, indeed. So one of the places I volunteer at is a church. We meet in the gymnasium, and they have a carpeted wall. Yes! So I can get things up and see them there. So that's my design wall. It's a church.
What do you think makes a great quilt?
Of course, the immediate appeal. One glance, it sets it up, whether it is outstanding or just ordinary. They separate there. Then you go into the imagery, the design itself. The creativity involved is number one, as far as I'm concerned. Number two is the workmanship. Is it top drawer? Is it a fine exhibit of what the quilt maker's art is? Number three, does it say something? Does it express what the quilter's values are? Does it express something that the quilt maker wants to say? That to me is very important. And if it doesn't have that first appeal, if it doesn't have the workmanship and the design, the aesthetics about it, no, that's not a great quilt. That's one for the, you know, that's a user quilt. That's a Christmas present for someone.
Right. Through the years, you've obviously made a lot of quilts. Do you have any idea how many you may have made?
No, because in one charity quilt, we used to give away 50 quilts a year, and I did all of the finishing and cutting for them, and so I was dealing with elderly, and so no, I have no idea. It's in the hundreds. My walls are lined with them just in storage, and so no, I have no idea.
I imagine everyone in your family has a quilt.
They keep warm. Every Christmas they have a new one.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I make at least 5 of them to give each Christmas, and then belong to a group at church where we make prayer shawls and comfort quilts. And if a person has serious crisis in their family, why, they usually get something handmade to know that people are praying for them.
That's wonderful. Can you think of people who've been an inspiration to you in your quilting?
Besides my grandmother?
Yes.
That's really, really hard. I mean, you can't turn off your visual imagery. I would say that every visual image I've ever had is part of the inspiration, and every one that I see that is created within me. So I can't say just people. It is the imagery. When I walk out in nature, this is inspiration. When I think of the Lord and the blessings, this is inspiration. As far as a person, there have been people instrumental in my life. Carrie, for one, she has brought together such a marvelous collection of quilts, and with the Quilts Incorporated collection, that and having the wonderful task of documenting them, I got to see them up close and personal, and I'd have to say every quilt spoke something of the maker, of the times, of the technology. That's my source of inspiration. So there's a lot of faceless inspiration points out there that I'd have to say inspired me a great deal.
When you make your user quilts, what styles are you using mostly? Are they
everything? I do it all. Everything. The only thing I don't do is use bonding. I'm sorry, I do not use bonding. But I do everything from strip piecing to, if it's a user quilt, it's for the bed, it's to wear out, and so I do it however that I think that person would enjoy it aesthetically, cuddle under for warmth and comfort. You're thinking about the person while you're making the quilt, and so every bit of every stitch is love.
Do you do your labor-intensive needle turn work for these user quilts?
Sometimes they get a medallion. Sometimes they get a little accent. But no.
Well, I can't blame you for that. Is there any particular quilt artist whose work you're specifically drawn to? We can come back to that one.
Well, it's so hard to say. Nancy Crowe was so instrumental in bringing the traditional into the contemporary. And I think that type of impetus is important to me. The visual imagery of some of Carol Breyer Fallot's work is, I love her color sense, and I love the freedom in some of her quilts. Some of them are very structured, but some of them have a life force in them that really appeals to me. But quilt makers today, I'd have to go back to the Ladies of Baltimore in 1854-55, and the work that they put into their quilts, and the imagery that they put into their quilts, and the freedom with which they use that, and the symbolism of Christianity and the interests of life. Those speak most clearly to me.
Do you have a big stash?
Huge.
How do you store it?
All over the house. The house has, unfortunately, and my husband has a lot of interest too, so he does plank on frame model boats. Therefore, most of my quilts have boats in them, tall ships, I should say. I don't speak boats, so and so he has his interest. Now that he's retired, why, he gets to do that. He has seen me go through spinning and dyeing and weaving and all the equipment, and I've gone through a lot of things, throwing pots and doing the glazing, and from even firing pots in our fireplace. not a good scene.
You've obviously led a creative life.
I've had a great supportive husband who we were able to manage, and he gave me the freedom to do, follow my muse, if one would say that, the inspiration that the Lord has given me. And I'm actually a cellist. I've gone back to it. I was a music major when I met him. And we've been married for 50 years. We had our 50th wedding anniversary. The one I've gotten special exhibits is our 50th wedding anniversary quilt.
You have one quilt in the exhibits here?
Yes, my 50th anniversary. I exhibit now in the special exhibits, because I no longer do the competitive. I like right. Juried shows, but not competitive ones. As I say, I've got eye problems, and I'm just thankful to see.
Well, you're enjoying the quilting to the best you can enjoy
Absolutely.
It now.
As long as the Lord's got for me.
Nothing takes the joy out of it, does it?
That's right. Well, there's always something more to express.
That's right.
Or someone else needs to stay warm.
What do you think is the biggest challenging confronting quilt makers today?
Staying true to the inspiration that our grandmother started. I think that that it's really a separate category, a lot of the contemporary quilts with the mixed media. It is fiber arts. I think that the quilting itself is vibrant, it's progressive, and it will go a long way into the future. We've just started exploring where quilting can go in the traditional frame. The fiber arts combine so many things and has brought formally trained, quote, artists into it, which is a wonderful addition to say other things and to do other things. But are they quilts? Are they going to give comfort, and are they going to, can you cuddle with them on a cold winter day?
Well, that's the question. What is a quilt?
That's right. That is the question. What is a quilt? For me, a quilt is something that can give comfort, express love, and provide some source of inspiration, aesthetic comfort, a means of expressing oneself, but it always has to have that three layers of backing, batting, top layer, quilted in some way. It has to stay together with techniques that are going to last for years. It can't be a throwaway. I mean, Tyvek is an instant destruct. I mean, the minute you handle it, it shatters. Is that a quilt? I'd like to see that on a bat, quite frankly. I'm sorry. I'm on my second soapbox here.
But that's what's interesting. I mean, we are interested in your input in this.
The traditional values of quilting are not only to please people's eyes, but to keep them warm physically. And it warms the heart to see a beautiful quilt. The others are wonderful social statements.
Yes.
But that's what they are, and they are fiber arts.
Do you consider a quilt art?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And it has been accepted in major museums as art. Yes, finally, the Amish quilts were the source of inspiration for the hard edge graphics of the 20s and 30s. I mean, how much more accepted can you get? We are art, and we've always been art. And not only women's art, we are also men's art. There have been a lot of fine, fine quilts made by men. A lot of the British Army quilts were made by men. While they were recuperating, they cut up uniforms and they made gorgeous quilts.
This is your 15-minute warning until we open the door.
To continue, let's talk some more about how quilts fit into the world today.
I think the social expression of some of the contemporary quilts is marvelous. They bring a lot of social consciousness that actually should be brought to the earth. We as a church built and sponsor an orphanage in Kenya. We personally sponsor a child. I think very strongly that we have a social responsibility. The Lord has given a mandate to take care of the widows, the orphans. This is important to me. The world needs clean water. The world needs social awareness of vital issues. But quilting as a, I would say that I have a social statement as well. My values are in my quilts. You can see my statement in my quilts. There's somewhat spoken without a word, but with inking, I can say the words too.
Yes. And your quilts show a great deal of love.
That's what life is all about. Love, God is love. Love for all who believe in Him. And that's what I try to express.
What kind of fabrics do you like to work with? Speaking of the designs of the fabrics.
Everything. I am extremely eclectic in my taste. Everything from I love the marvelous batiks of the Netherlands, printed in the Netherlands. A lot of them are sold in Indonesia, a lot of them are sold elsewhere. They're absolutely fantastic pattern with explosions of color in the Vlisco medium. And I have been blessed in traveling to the Netherlands. You see a Dutch flag down here, and that has a story. I was giving a class in dimensional applique to a class in the Netherlands, and because I like to use actual flags on my quilts in small versions, I griped. Yes, I confess. I griped to them that I couldn't find any small Dutch flags because I wanted to put it on my next quilt. So I have a piece of Vlisco batik forming the vase, and I have their eagle, their rampant lion, and then one of the ladies sent me in the mail. She had taken it off of her son's army uniform and then to allow me to put it on a quilt. So that is a piece of Dutch army uniform.
What a wonderful story.
And now I have, she still makes, apparently still makes the dimensional flowers I taught them to make. And so we have a real feeling of kinship across the pond.
Yes. Well, you do a lot of teaching.
I do a lot of teaching. I used to in the quilt shops, but I am one of those, come from a long line of teachers, and I love to impart whatever knowledge, to techniques, whatever aesthetics that I can impart. My love for the Lord and for the art, it goes together, and yes, I like to teach.
Do you teach specific techniques, or what do you mostly teach?
My favorite is what I call the fun techniques, all of the very esoteric, more needle turn and reverse applique, you name it, and then dimensional applique. But I will teach them anything from strip piecing to, I do it and I teach it. So I teach beginners, I teach them how to draft a pattern, I teach them how to make their own templates and how to piece that pattern, and then I teach them hearts, of course, because it has all of the elements that are best for learning to do needle turn applique. That's what I teach. I tell them, go to somebody else who teaches the others. There's 100 ways of doing applique, but I find it most organic and most satisfying to do needle turn because the fabric and I speak to each other while I put it down.
Now explain that. What do you mean by that?
You have a feeling for textiles, for fiber, and something intrinsic within the feeling, the tactile feeling, it goes to the brain and it speaks to you as you're supposed to. I can't, if I could explain it, I would be a psychiatrist at least. I'm a quilter. Actually, I'm a home economist.
Well, obviously a very good teacher.
Thank you.
How many people do you think you've taught through the years?
Again, I have no idea because, and I'm very bad with names. I don't keep a record of the students, but it's fun to see a student's work up on the competition and you have the satisfaction of saying, I had a little input to that. You know, I somehow passed on my love of quilting and or whatever. But that's the joy of teaching.
When you go around an exhibit such as this, which quilts are you drawn to the most?
The ones that say something. The aesthetics, do they appeal to me? Are there interesting techniques? Do I have something to learn from that quilt? Have they used color in a different way than I would normally have thought? Because I have students from Japan, from India, and I get all of these aesthetics that are indigenous to those areas, and I really love the input from these other cultures. And you play a guessing game. You'll see a quilt that clearly is the normal palette of Japanese, for instance. You can spot it down the road. Is it made by a Japanese from Japan, or is it a Japanese American? What influences have been there? It's all of the influences that go into what makes a quilt. It's an expression of everything that has gone into that person's life. Every image that they've ever seen has been an input into their quilting.
Are you ever influenced by the color trends? I mean, where there's years you can only find these colors or that.
That's why we run a stash, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That sort of evens out. Now, there are fabrics today available that we wouldn't have dreamt of being available before. We have such a great, great bouquet of cultures that are expressed in the fabrics that are made today. But there are those favorites from the past that keep cropping up in the quilts because it was a special fabric that says exactly what you want to say, so you go back to it, so you just keep eking out every little scrap. And that's the beauty of applique. I find more applique pieces in waste baskets. We're the recyclers. Nothing goes to waste.
Do you ever use other fabrics besides cotton in your quilts?
Particularly for the dimensional applique, because polyester adds its perkiness. It doesn't wrinkle. It never fades down. It never really truly packs. It comes back. So frequently, if that's the color, if that's the fabric I want, I will use it. Silk, no, because it's too easily destroyed.
It's fragile.
It's very fragile. Temperatures, insects, humidity, everything affects silk. And so I do not, because I'm hoping that my quilts would be around in 100 years. Those competition quilts.
Yes.
Not the user quilts. I want them used up.
And that's a wonderful attitude.
Well, the Lord puts it into your heart to warm their bodies as well as their minds.
Do you own any quilts that your grandmother made?
Yes, and I have one that my great-grandmother made, a very old quilt, Feathered Stars scrap quilt. I suspect my grandmother quilted it because she quilted it in a very usual way for hers. Her quilting and the scallop borders she liked to put on her quilts reflect so much the 20s and 30s, so I suspect that she quilted the quilt. But so it's an intergenerational quilt, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
Are there any particular eras of quilts? For instance, when you look at quilts from the 30s and there's particular fabrics that were used then, do you enjoy using specific fabrics like that, like Civil War quilt fabrics, 20s, 30s fabrics?
I love to. I love keeping the time frame fairly consistent. I will stretch the imagery and the patterns to be more what I want to say. But if I'm using 30s fabrics, I try to stay within the 30s aesthetic, keep it consistent with the 30s. I try to keep the 1860s fabrics as 1860s and do scrap quilts from pretty much that time. I like to keep the because the styles fit the fabrics.
Yes.
And they speak with each other. As a matter of fact, I've made quilts from all of the periods, and my stash includes fabrics from all of the periods. I said I'm eclectic.
We're nearing the end of our time here. I wonder if there's something that we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about.
I think I've said...
Do you have any other soapbox things you'd like to mention?
No, thank you. In fact, you could please erase some of that. I probably have offended someone, and I did not mean to offend. Everyone has their own, and I guess I'm prejudiced, but I've seen the effects of some of these things, this discharge dyeing, and the effects are drastic. And to see an antique quilt that has been cleaned up with a strong stain remover, I just cry over.
Right,
because they've destroyed history. They've destroyed their family legacy.
What about cutter quilts? How do you feel about them?
If a quilt is totally beyond, if it has no more documentation that can be taken out of it, no more history within that quilt, I guess, you know, if it's been the wrap for furniture and then eaten by rats and mice and various human waste has been put on it, sometimes
it's had its day.
Yes. And I guess it put into a picture frame and said, this is great-grandmother's quilt, is better than throwing it in the trash.
Right.
But, you know, they destroy a document.
Attention, please.
A document of our history.
Here we go. As a teacher?
They destroy, as a teacher, I try to stress some of these values and the legacy that they're leaving and they're giving their family and the love that they express for the people who receive these quilts.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Jean.
Thank you
very much,
Jane. It's a pleasure meeting you.
We've appreciate your allowing us to interview you here today and adding to the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 10:54.
And please excuse anything that I said that was distasteful to anyone else. I did not mean to be step on toes.
But you haven't. It's a wonderful interview.